The following podcast contains strong language.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
At the moment, we're praying 3 days a week, Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday mornings from 8 a.m. until 10 a.m. The unborn child is a unique individual, never to be repeated.
Dumb old bitch.
See, how pleasant that dumb old bitch he called.
How arrogant and ignorant.
You'd be the arrogant one.
No, I don't think so.
You may as well be the fucking devil.
Oh, we're getting belted big time. Yes, we are losing the battle. There's no doubt about that. That doesn't mean we'll lose the war.
So it's war?
Spiritual war. You know that, Sarah.
I'm Sarah McVee, and this is How Do You Sleep at Night? It's a show about people who live their lives in the face of judgment. In this episode, you'll meet the Helpers of God's Precious Infants. They're a group of pro-life activists who pray out the front of abortion clinics. Their critics say they harass women. They say they ask them to stop and talk.
I've been praying for 23 years outside abortion. We call them MILs because clinic implies something that's respectful, I suppose, or that's legitimate, and I don't consider these places as legitimate.
If you're in the 80% of Australians who think women should have the right to choose an abortion, you may find some of the Helpers' views offensive. But this show is about trying to understand the world from each other's perspectives. It's a chance to understand what this group really believes and why they do what they do.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
I'm out the front of the clinic at Devonshire Street in Sydney, and there's a row of people praying all along the footpath. Paul Hanrahan is the ringleader here, and he's standing with his rosary beads. Paul's, I guess, 60 years old. He's a father of five. Kind of looks like an accountant. He's all rugged up, and he's praying. As people walk past, he asks them if they'll stop and talk.
Hi, I'm Paul Hanrahan. I'm the Executive Director of Family Life International Australia, and I'm the Sydney Coordinator for the Helpers of God's Precious Infants.
Who are the Helpers of God's Precious Infants?
The Helpers are a group of people who come together to pray and make reparation for an end to abortion.
I've been in there.
Yeah?
I've been in there for contraception.
No, they do that too. I think that's no good. Hi, how are you, Grace?
God bless you.
Grace agrees with us.
I know that you think contraception's no good.
I know contraception's no good.
You think it's no good.
I know it's no good. It's not good for women. Children are good. A blessing. Always.
Can you describe the sign that you put out the front of the abortion clinic?
What? Because of all this work, we only got the one at the moment. We usually had two. Abortion hurts women. Possible complications. Perforation of the uterus. Hemorrhage and infection. With a 10-week-old aborted baby. Enlarged photo.
Do you call that a baby?
What would you call it?
I'm just wondering.
Yeah. Yep.
When does it become a baby?
It's a human life. That's the other side of that, by the way.
Oh, can you describe that?
It's got pictures of young children, family, and another enlarged photo of a 10-week-old aborted baby. I'm coming. Yeah.
So it's got these kind of stock images of mums and dads kissing their cute little babies, mum and dad walking on the beach with their toddler, and then
having a coffee, Dad.
Yeah, a bloodied fetus with a 10-cent coin for size. What do you hope that picture achieves?
We want people to see what it does. It's the same reason they show photos of what happened at Auschwitz and other death camps in World War II. Why do they show bodies, piles of bodies? It was horrific. That's why. This is horrific. Someone dies in an abortion clinic. Someone always dies. You can't escape that.
This information is for Virgin Australia guests travelling to Melbourne.
I'm sitting on one of those $2 massage chairs at the boarding lounge at Sydney Airport, looking out over the tarmac, and I'm about to fly down to Albury to meet the local chapter of the Helpers of God's Precious Infants. Apparently there's been a whole lot of tension in Albury over the abortion clinic and the people that pray out the front of it.
Your destination is on the left.
Hello.
Sarah.
I'm Mary. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
This is Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Lovely to meet you.
Sarah.
My name is Mary
Cummins. And my name is Greg Cummins.
And we come to Albury on a Thursday to take part in the Helpers Prayer Vigil outside the abortion clinic at Englehart Street in Albury.
Greg and Mary look like the classic Australian farmers you might find in an R.M. Williams catalogue. They live in Victoria, but it's illegal to pray at the front of the clinics there, so they drive over to Albury in New South Wales instead. They're scrubbed up and neatly pressed and look like they'd be comfortable serving you scones for afternoon tea. They're keen to show me a video of what happened to Greg while he was praying at the clinic. A young guy whose partner is going for an abortion comes up to Greg and pushes him to the ground. That sound is coming from another helper who's filming the attack on her phone from inside her car. The young guy is clearly upset when he approaches Greg and he shoves him hard. Greg falls backwards, hits a brick wall, and then just crumbles.
If you see the video, I've had my hand by my side because he just went bang and he broke my jaw, knocked my back. Well, I hit a fence. Lucky he didn't hit my head on the brick fence. Could have been killed.
Do you feel scared when you're praying now?
Oh, well, I always, you often think, well, you know, wonder what's going to happen today. Had it been 40 years earlier, it might have been a different story. He might have got off so lightly, but anyway.
Did you rethink praying out the front of the clinic after that?
This is not just something you decide to do overnight. That's the trouble nowadays, is no one stands up for what the true values of what we believe in. You know, it's a thing that you believe in, and, you know, you've just got to put up with it. That's one of the risks you take, I suppose.
You can see Mary's still shaken when Greg talks about what happened and when she thinks about the clinic.
We see the truck drive in the back and drives out, and on the side of that truck it's got medical waste. And they're babies. They're babies. It did really shake me up the first time I saw that truck. It really did. Brought tears to my eyes, and I've got tears in my eyes now thinking about that.
They come into the world by someone else's actions, and then they're completely innocent, and then people get rid of them because of they're greedy or for various reasons.
Do you think it is greed that leads people to have abortions?
Selfishness, really. Nowadays, people want more and more things for themselves.
Do you think that your views are the minority views?
Oh, yeah, no doubt we're the minority views, yeah.
How do you think people see you?
Oh, quite mad. No doubt about that. Quite mad. And they don't really want to know you because of the stance you take.
Well, thank you both for speaking to me.
Thank you for listening.
When the Helpers of God's Precious Infants talk to women out the front of the clinic, they offer them flyers. One has a picture of a bloodied fetus. Another has a chubby newborn baby having its fingers kissed by its mum, who, by the way, is wearing a wedding ring, obviously. And in Albury, they also hand out flyers directing women to a counselling place on the outskirts of town. It's called the Women's Life Centre and it's run by a woman called Peter. She's not a helper, but she does support their cause.
Having any sort of faith, especially in the world at the moment, labels you as some sort of right-wing, crazy, fundamentalist freak. This is our reception area, so everything's sort of beautifully done so that when a woman comes in, her first feeling is that she's appreciated and she has dignity.
It's all folksy and floral, like we've stepped into a Laura Ashley catalogue. Except the first thing you see when you walk in the door is a framed ultrasound image of a fetus.
And this is our counselling room. People out in the community may think that counselling is like a formal option for women, and it is in a sense, but the word counselling is actually an unregulated word. So in Australia, we can call ourselves counsellors and not have degrees. Only I have the diploma of counselling.
So would it be possible that someone would come in and get counselling with your volunteer counsellor and not know that they're actually not a counsellor?
Yeah, that is possible, yeah. So that's up to, you know, I mean, that's their discernment as well, the person coming in. And it really depends on what they're looking for.
The Women's Life Centre also has some pretty high-end medical equipment, which you'd usually only see at a specialist clinic or a hospital.
Down the end, we have an area where we can provide ultrasounds for women. So it's non-diagnostic. It's really about a woman having a chance to sit down, see her unborn child and connect. So it's about bonding and just understanding, being really fully informed about development of the baby and how many weeks she may be, or, you know, if the heartbeat's there yet, all that sort of stuff.
If you're thinking about an abortion and you see an ultrasound here at Peter's, it could make your decision harder. Peter wants you to imagine the fetus as your baby, to bond with it.
Do you see it as pretty much the same thing, that once a baby has been conceived, that it's just as unique as, say, you or I, and therefore killing it is the same as deciding to kill me or you or a 10-year-old?
Yeah, I do.
You think it's the same?
It's the same. I don't think that you're meaning to do this, but I think that there can be a perception that because I think that somehow there's something wrong with that, but there isn't. I might understand that, but a woman who's having an abortion might not, and that's fine. That's her understanding and that's her decision.
Yeah, I guess it is. It's a different view to me, in that I can't associate a fetus with an adult, because I don't see them as the same thing. But I am curious to hear how you feel that way, and, you know, it's a genuine curiosity, yeah, to understand.
I find it fascinating that you don't. So that, to me, that's interesting. So what makes it different for you? What is the difference between the fetus and an adult for you then?
I don't necessarily know that a fetus is a fully formed human being yet. I don't necessarily put the same kind of spiritual import on that development.
I understand what you're saying now. So you sort of see it more like something that's developing there, but perhaps hasn't got like a spirit or soul or something. So I think that right from the beginning of when you were created, that's when you were there. That uniqueness of Sarah began in the womb.
Does the spirit just go bang into existence when the sperm and the egg meet? Mm. It doesn't exist before?
Well, I'm not sure how it exists before, but my understanding is that when it meets, God animates the soul at that moment. Body, soul, spirit all happens together.
So it's sort of like a three-way between the husband, wife, yeah, and God.
Yeah, it's a uniting of man and woman. And God has also come into it. I mean, that's life, that's creation.
So what's it like to be on the other side? I'm in a paddock on the banks of the Murray River, just outside Albury, surrounded by horses. This one's getting its hooves clipped.
I'm Anissa. I went and had an abortion at the Albury Clinic. Just recently before the abortion, been raped, and so was still kind of dealing with the trauma of that, and then kind of found out that me and my fiance were pregnant. It really was at the time the only option. I don't regret it. I hate that it happened, and I mean, almost 4 years later, and it still affects me. And it's not the fact that I had an abortion that I'm stressed about or worried about. It's the fact that I made that decision for myself. Nobody else knew my story, yet I was still told that I'd go to hell and burn in hell if I'd gone into the clinic by the protesters out the front.
Can you recount that day, what happened from when you got out of your car?
I had thought it was going to be a big joke. I'd heard about the protesters, but I really hadn't paid much attention to them. But as soon as I saw them on the street holding up rosary beads and prayer cards and the little plastic molds of babies, it was completely different. I started freaking out. And as I walked up the street, a guy started to approach us. And I was like, I'm sure they're not allowed to come near us. Why is he coming near us? And as he kept closer, he said to me, do you know that they kill babies in there? You're going to burn in hell if you go in there. You don't want to burn in hell, do you?
Is that what they said to you?
That I was going to burn in hell for all eternity because I'd killed a baby.
They said that.
I knew that I was 100% about my decision before I went in there. And it was never a thing about guilt. It was more just how dare they kind of come into me and tell me what I should and shouldn't be doing.
I mean, if you don't believe in God and you believe that what you're doing is right, why does it matter if they're there or not?
It's hard to explain. It's, for me, it's just another attack. It's attacking my decision without them having informed knowledge of it. It's them attacking me as a person, like my beliefs don't mean anything. It's attacking the fact that it should be a private thing that I should be able to access without them putting their nose into it.
I watch Anissa in the paddock. She's rugged up in a more sensible coat than the one I'm wearing, and she still looks cold. She's patting a big mare's nose and enjoying its warm breath.
Like, I don't hate them. I just hate what they do and how they do it. Good on them for sticking up for their beliefs, but just do it somewhere that isn't hurting people.
Do you want to message me your address and I'll drive round?
Regina's another helper in Aubrey and we're meeting at her place. Her front lounge room is decorated with pictures of Jesus and Mary and Regina's six kids. That's not even a lot of kids for the pro-life scene. The families are big when you don't believe in contraception.
What are some of the judgments that you've faced?
A bit of a list here.
Get the phone out, bit of a list.
Do the interview, may as well do it properly. So the things that have happened to me. I've had the sprinkler put on me and the hose. I've been spat at by a male whose partner was going inside. I've had things thrown from driving cars. I've had a flyer sent to my husband's employer with a letter attached.
So this is the flyer?
Mm-hmm. So one flyer had with the photo of me said, this is Regina Dawson. She violates women's medical privacy at Englehart Street most weeks. We intend to target all tradies at commercial sites where that business, and it names it, is working and let them know what his wife is doing as it is wrong.
Do you think that the majority of people in the town would prefer you weren't there?
I don't know. I can't speak for the rest of the community.
If you knew that the whole town didn't want you there or the majority of the town didn't want you there, would you stop?
No, I wouldn't stop. There's human life being taken there and that's a big deal. The numbers of the community, that doesn't make any difference to me.
No difference?
No difference. I know it is a fight or a battle between good and evil because it is life and death. This is about life and death, so that's why I expect the worst to happen. It wouldn't even surprise me if they killed me.
When I left Regina's house, she gave me a gift bag with the word pray on it. Inside was a medallion, a set of rosary beads, some shortbread, and some religious pamphlets. She'd also made me a card, and inside she'd stuck a photo of her family. The card says, I hope your time in Aubrey was fruitful and that you were moved by the testimonies that were openly shared with you. I'll keep you in my prayers. God bless you, Regina. P.S. Hopefully the listeners will be open to find more respect and tolerance for those with differing opinions, just as Jesus tolerates us sinners with patience. I'm back in Sydney at the Surry Hills Abortion Clinic, and like clockwork, Paul Hanrahan from the Sydney Helpers is here praying.
I refuse to accept that this is an okay thing to do, but I accept that you're an okay human in one way or another. I can see where you're coming from, but I think that you're entirely delusional in your belief.
There you go. Did you get all that? Thanks, Tim. He's a reasonable guy, and I think we could talk. I've actually said to him, we'll have a coffee.
He said you're delusional.
Yeah, I know. I've said we'll have a coffee.
Women should have the right to choose what they do with their bodies.
No.
Women shouldn't have the right to choose what they do with
their
body.
It's not their body. It's a baby that gets killed. What they need is support. What they need is support.
Okay, so you tell me, are you going to be there when a 15-year-old girl gets postnatal depression, lives in...
Why does she get that?
Because she's got no support.
Postnatal depression means she's had the baby.
So are you going to be there and pay for her psychology treatment?
Yeah, we do that. We exactly what we do do.
Yeah, bullshit.
Okay,
are you like a priest? Because I see you here all the time with the most smug face.
Smug?
And I don't know how you could be a man of God with that face on you. Seriously, you're a middle-aged white man that hasn't been through shit.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
Grace, the Lord is with thee.
It just feels like there's only one way to be in this world.
Don't know what that means.
In the world of the helpers of God's precious infants, there's one way that you think is right.
There's more than one way. You can stay single. When it comes to marriage and children...
If you want to be a sexually active person, then it's marriage and children for you. That's it, isn't it? There's one way.
Yes, that's right.
Do you think most people walking along here wish you weren't here?
Probably. But I don't know. There are people who don't necessarily disagree with us on the issue of abortion, but don't think we should be doing this.
Yeah, it's the getting in people's spaces when they're trying to go into the clinic, isn't it?
It's like journalists, isn't it?
I'm not loitering out the front of medical clinics unless I'm following you around.
Fair enough.
There's a debate going on in New South Wales about whether people like Paul should be allowed to keep praying out the front of abortion clinics. Right now, Paul's arguing his case to the government. Aside from an old shoulder injury, Paul sleeps soundly at night. Thanks for listening to How Do You Sleep at Night? We'd love it if you could share it with your friends or leave us a review on iTunes. You can binge all 6 episodes right now on the new ABC Listen app, or you can hear one a week on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts. In our next episode, we meet a smooth-talking big tobacco man.
I really, genuinely love tobacco. I love what I do.
Find out how he lives with himself when cigarettes kill 7 million people a year.